Hello, welcome to Our PVC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPVCLife or through our website at ppclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
This morning, I want to just share a Thanksgiving word with you, and I've entitled it Thanksgiving by Chance or by Choice. Is it by chance that we give thanks, or is it by choice? This summer, I did the series on Psalm 23, and I deliberately left out verse 1b as I did verse by verse, because verse 1b said, I shall not want. And I wanted to remind us at Thanksgiving time that it doesn't say I shall not need, it says I shall not want. As I did through that series, which you can find online, I asked the question in each verse, who is God? And so in verse 1b, who is God here? He is our constant provider with endless supply. But who should we be? We should be grateful recipients or open-handed receivers. And if we're open-handed receivers, then we're also open-handed givers. Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. That's where we started the series. And one version says, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. Another version says, I shall not want. And another version says, I don't need a thing. These are three points that we need to hold on to, because if we hold dearly to these, our complete understanding of life changes. How we live for God and before others changes. I have all that I need, because my God is a constant provider. I shall not want, because my God has an endless supply. I don't need a thing, because my God provides all that I need. So as we went through that series, and I ended, I believe, on Labor Day by going into the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer has another verse that reminds us that when we have need, we can ask the Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Because our provider provides for us day by day. Our God has a limitless resource with limitless supply. Isn't that amazing? See, everyone else is limited, but God is limitless. Limitless resources with limitless supply. I love food, but I'm very food fussy. I'm a food snob, actually. One of the most difficult things for me to do is when I'm invited to go to buffets. I'm not particular about buffets. And I thank God for COVID. COVID changed a lot of things, and it changed buffets. Thank you, Jesus. See, I don't like touching utensils that everyone else has used after they lick their finger at their table and then go and pick up the utensil, and then I'm squirmish with that. But the other thing about buffets is that it requires a lot of sacrifice, a lot of discipline for me. It's a lot of discipline not to fill up if I really like the food on the buffet, but if it's a passable one, then it's a lot of discipline to not go through and pick everything until I find the one item that I like and then fill my plate with it. If you're wondering how that works, for instance, at the Mandarin, you will wonder who this woman is, because I eat with my eyes, I'll look at everything, and then when I find the chicken wings, and after you've had that one, then I'll load up my plate, and you might be going, this woman just took the whole lot of chicken wings, and I'm like, yes, that's all I'm eating, thank you very much, leave me alone. I'm getting my money's worth out of that day. But see, buffets, it's a a culture that we created where we can overindulge without thinking of others, because there are nations right now where they can't eat a thing. There's nothing to eat. Children are dying. And so one of the things that David is teaching us in this psalm, because David lived in the wilderness, in the mountainous ranges where food was scarce, where water was not always flowing, where whatever dry, stale bread he took with him had to last the entire time that he was out there. So he learned to develop the art of satisfaction, the art of true contentment with God's supply. David learned satisfaction. And that's something that our culture doesn't teach us, how to be satisfied. That is why kids nowadays are spoiled in so many ways, because I don't like that, I don't want that. Many of us grew up, the I don't want, I don't like wasn't a part of our language. Does anybody remember when that was not a part of the English language? I don't like it. Okay, that's fine. Go to bed. You're like, I'll call CAS. We don't have those in that day. So David learned satisfaction, the art of true contentment with God's supply. Can you imagine as believers if we learn satisfaction, learn what true contentment is? When I traveled on the mission field and I'd be in countries where we had to eat different things, I always traveled with my little cracker packs, crackers, and granola bars. That is why I cannot eat granola bars in North America. It's my mission food. If you give me granola, I'm looking at you going, am I on the mission field? I had to learn the art of being satisfied with it, to eat it as my meal. There were times there were some food options, such as the time when I was in one country and they said, we have fresh meat today. And I said, I didn't see any animal. This is, oh, no, we have fresh monkey. And I'm like, granola bar, love granola bar. Oh, if you wonder how you get out of those things, ask me another time. But you eat it in respect because you honor the culture. So David, he's proving to us here that truly we do have all that we need, because God supplies what we need, but our wants is extra desires that propels us, that keeps us on a almost like a treadmill. See, we're hardly ever satisfied. We're hardly ever satisfied. The desire for more and more can grow into the sin of gluttony. I want is often from an insatiable desire, a greed, a jealousy, a pride, and you can continue to list that. When we get into greed and jealousy and pride, if they have it, I want it. They got it, I need it. And then we begin to think I want is I need. Hello? I want is not I need. I want can be driven by some other factor, such as we see others with that. Oh, if their turkey is 50 pounds, ours should be 60. And the poor bird is going, boy, why did you have to cook me like this? Many times, have you ever seen kids throw a tantrum over something? And they have such a tantrum that you just give in and you give it to them. And you give it to them what? They don't want it because they never wanted it. They just wanted to demonstrate, I have power to make you give me this. But we cannot have a tantrum with God. And he teaches us in the Lord's Prayer, if we have a need, continue to pray, God, give me today my daily bread. And Lord, as you forgive others, the debt. See, we have a debt to others, and that is a debt to give unto them also. And when we do not give, we're actually injuring ourselves because we are now allowing other sins to percolate in our hearts. And so the blessing of the Lord is that we are released by God because he blesses us to be a blessing to nations, to people, to kingdom, to our family, even to the person just right beside us. But in a culture where we learn to want everything that everyone else has, we live on the I want, I want, I want, I want, I want. And happiness is not a result of our means or by our chances that we get. Happiness is a result of our choice. Hello? So this key concept that we need to capture today is that we should concentrate in this and recognize this and acknowledge this. We should recognize our blessings. When we count, that's why we love the good old Sunday school days. What? Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Now, if I ask anyone, millennial and under, to sing that, the place would go dead silent. Because we didn't teach you to count your blessing. So there's a generation, the last two decades, in fact, three decades, we haven't been seeing that count your blessings. It's a blessing to have shoes on our feet. It's a blessing to have food on our table. It's a blessing to have a beautiful home and warm heat. It's a blessing, blessing, blessing. But when we stop counting our blessing, we live in the insatiable desire for more, 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 which leads us into the sins of gluttony, greed, pride, arrogance, and many other such sins. Are you hearing me this morning? David's son Solomon was granted an abundance of things. It started out wonderful, but it ended up in devastation. Solomon gained wealth, he gained wisdom, he gained treasures, and he gained the wonders of the earth. It all came to him easily. In fact, if you read the last chapters of David's life, David set him up and said, even the king, the temple that he must build, let us have everything prepared for him so he doesn't have to work to build it. Everything was given to Solomon. It came so easily that after a while he ignored wisdom, and he finally ended up marrying so many women to gain alliances, to gain more wealth, to gain more power, that he ignored God's law, and he died with a sad commentary. The commentary on his life is, had it all, needed more. Do we really need more? Do we really need more? And I mentioned a few weeks ago in one of the Psalm 23 sermons that the fastest growing business in North America is storage companies. In fact, when I lived in a condo out in Mississauga area, extra lockers had bidding wars. There was a bidding war. Whenever one was advertised, people would be bidding higher and higher and higher to get that one overpriced locker to store the things that we didn't want to give to others. Just slip that in there. Can't let go of it, gotta hold on to it, gotta pay to keep it, and then one day we'll throw it out because we don't know what else to do with it. A missionary friend tells a story of how they moved to Africa to serve in the Lord's mission. They went with three suitcases each, and they lived there for 33 years and did not accumulate much. But I'll tell you, they're rich in the presence and the power of Almighty God. We're always saying we want, we wish we had, we'd be happy if we had more. That I pray that our younger generations listening, there's a want, I want, I need, I should have, I deserve, That is from the enemy, because he keeps you on a platform of always desiring to have more, more, more. When is it going to be enough? And our sin nature develops this appetite that can't be stopped. We've got to remember when they sat down at Thanksgiving table in the centuries ago, they were giving God thanks truly from their heart. Now we say it from our lips and we move on and we're looking for something else. There's got to be something deep in our souls. And I know many of us are going to family dinners today or tomorrow. Not everyone will share our opinion, but keep it deep in your heart what the true purpose is. If your family can't get there, you stay there and allow yourself to be the only one that carries that mantle. Rockefeller, John Davidson Rockefeller Sr., was America's greatest businessman. He was a philanthropist, and he was widely considered the wealthiest American of all time and the richest person in modern history. And the question was asked of him. He lived 1839 to 1937, and the question was asked of him, how much did it take to finally make you happy? And his answer was, just a little bit more. See, Jehovah, our provider, has limitless resources with limitless supply, but many of us have chosen to equate our greed for our need. And when we equate our happiness to greediness, there is no room to see how much blessings God has given us. I'm going to emphasize this today because I believe this is a spiritual culture that is eroded, where people no longer see how blessed they are. They just see what else they should have, what else they need, what else I deserve, what I desire. And that is a sin nature that we should cancel. It's a sin nature we should repent of, because God has been good to us, and whereof we should be glad. Many people feel if they could have everything in life, then they'd be happy. I've used this one before because I looked it up, and there are many other stories like this. But if happiness was in the abundance of things, then suicide amongst the rich would never happen. Look, in 2018, Kate Spade took her own life after a divorce came into her life and financial struggles or fights came between them. She had a 13-year-old daughter, and it always comes back to my mind, how could you with a 13-year-old leave her and go kill yourself because you're fighting over money? God, the purse is, each Kate Spade purse is $150 to $350. All you do is sell another 100 purse, and us foolish women buy it from you, and you're still rich, and you would kill yourself over money. I don't get it. Somebody feel that for me. Because we equate more with happiness, and happiness is not found in more. Happiness is found in knowing that God has blessed us. Happiness is a state of mind and a peace of mind that we know who we are, and we remember the depth of God's ability to provide for our real needs, and we become thankful for His daily provision. Happiness is a state of mind. Happiness is a peace of mind. When we're in that state of mind, we find the peace, and the peace comes, and no matter what we're going through, there's a peacefulness. Thank you for praying for me as I was in Colombia. I did two different things. I was at the conference. I'll tell you about that another time. It was explosive. Absolutely amazing. It was the World Missions Conference, and I was speaking there. And then I went with Darren, and I toured many of the works in Colombia. And I'll show some pictures, because I met the happiest people in Colombia in some of the worst conditions. I met some of the happiest people. We went up into one of the towns where this pastor's digging up. He's just got a little patch of land. If we had that, we would put a shed on it. And he's building a church, and he and his wife, his hands were blistered. He and his wife are digging rocks out because they plan to build a 3-story church so they could get more people in. And I'm thinking, if you came to Canada, it would only take you a few years to be acclimatized, and then that little rock, he'd be like, that's just a piece of rock. I don't think I could do anything there. Like, I need, like, real land. But I watched the joy on him and his wife's face. Blistered hands, joyful face. What do we live with here? God has so blessed us in this land of free that all we do is we blister our tongue and our lips with grumbling rather than with thanksgiving. Lord, we pause right now and we pray for the people of Ukraine. The winter's coming. The children are starving. They're living not in their homes, but in shelters. They're listening to rockets and missiles. They will never be the same. God, there's no turkey dinner. There's no stuffing. And there's no pie. We pray, oh God, thanksgiving for the freedom we have in this nation. And we pray peace for a people that are beaten. Lord, we pray for the young people in Russia who can't get out and will be conscripted to war they don't want to be a part of. But they have no choice and no chances. God, we thank you for freedom in a nation where our young people don't have to be taken into war. Forgive us for the rebellion of our heart and the ingratitude of our lives, because we have not learned to give God thanks for all that you've done for us. God, today we pray every young man, every young woman that is afraid in Russia, oh God, put a peace in their heart and hide them, oh God. Jesus, we pray for every young child that is wondering, is this going to be the way it is for the rest of my life? For every mother that doesn't know what to do next to keep their children warm. God, forgive us in a nation of freedom where we've used our tongues to beat others rather than to worship and praise you and pray and intercede for the broken. Jesus, Son of David, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. Happiness is not a result of our means or our chances. Happiness is a result of our choice. All that we want will never make us happy, and all that we can have cannot make us happy. Psalm 144, 15, but happy is the one whose God is the Lord. Proverbs 3:18, happy are those who hold wisdom tightly, for wisdom is supreme. That is what Solomon lost, and all that he had, he lost wisdom along it. Happy are those who hear the joyful call to worship, for they will walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. The joyful call to worship. Do you know why it's so powerful being together? Is that when we come and we lift our voices and we begin to sing and praise, oh, there is an energy, there is a synergy, and there's a release of God's presence among us. How many know what I'm talking about this morning? You can watch it, but you can't feel it. But when you're in it, you can touch it. Happy are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord God. So basically, folks, happiness is the one who understands that I'm blessed of God. And every moment that I'm awake, I'm blessed of God. Every morsel that I eat, I'm blessed of God. Every clothing that I put on, I'm blessed of God. Every shoe that I wear, I'm blessed of God. Everything that I do, I'm blessed of God. You know, sometimes we preach it and teach it, and God gives us a lesson to help us. So you know I always share mine, right? Because you're not sharing yours, so I'll share mine. So Colombia, they have leather real cheap, and they have some of the nicest things that come from different South America countries. And y'all know that I love shoes. Now, the Lord is helping me with it, in case you're wondering, okay, well, we don't see such fancy shoes. Yeah, that's because I now have plantar fasciitis, so my heels can't happen. So I just look at my heels, and I thank God for the day he'll heal my heels so I can put back my heels. And he's not healing the heel because he knows I'm vain, and I'm going to come out in my shoe for you to see the last one. So I'm preaching at this conference in Colombia, and there's a mall not far. And we went there to eat, and I can shop for shoes in 5 minutes. We're sitting in the restaurant, I'm looking, and they're saying, what are you looking at? I'm like, that shoe store. And they're like, we don't have time for a shoe store, we gotta get back to the conference. I'm like, it only takes me 5 minutes. And so as we're coming out of the restaurant, I dashed in the shoe store. They had this beautiful brown leather shoe that I must have to wear at the conference. I must have it. And so we quickly, and the other male pastors, I was with our superintendents, everybody, they're like, this is crazy. I'm like, it's just let me try it on, tried it on. And it was like, oh, I have to have this. And I bought it, and I went back to the conference, and I'm walking about in my heel, and I look good, and I feel good, and I got pain all over. My plantar fasciitis is on steroids. I want it. I had to have. I need it. In fact, I did justify it. I says, I need this to go with the outfit I'm wearing. And they're like, you need it? I'm like, oh yeah, it's going to look good. I need it. See, sometimes our need is our vanity. Let me just share my life. I don't share yours, I'll share mine. Sometimes our need is our vanity. I don't know when I'll ever be able to put that pair of shoes on again. No, I'm not giving it. I still need more help from God. Oh. The real is this, folks. Let's each look at our own lives and see where we fit in that. Because even though we think it and we say it, we still have to live it. And sometimes the Lord allows us to live it in pain because we don't want to live it in ease. I shall not want, because God has provided and God will provide. See, the shepherd knows the needs of the sheep, and God knows our needs. Sheep is among the few animals created that cannot fend for itself. Sheep needs help even to find the right pasture to graze in. We preached on that. It is quite helpless in providing proper necessities for itself. And David declares in Psalm 23 that the sheep shall not want. Why? Because the shepherd knows what the sheep needs, and the shepherd will provide according to the sheep's need, so the sheep is sustained. Here's a reason. The shepherd knows that lack of food for the sheep is a crippling factor. It affects the sheep. It destroys the sheep. If you even look at us as creation, lack of food and hunger destroys how we think, how we behave. Esau sold his birthright because of hunger. We will do crazy things. Hunger is an irritant that keeps the sheep from knowing how to survive. And the desire for food and the lack of resource and the lack of nourishment cripples and causes foolish behavior. Many poor people are forced to resort to measures they would never consider initially. That is why I never judge people during a flood or a hurricane, because if you were there and your baby was hungry, you would do whatever it takes to put milk in that child's belly. I don't judge poor, destitute. I judge those of us who will not give from the abundance we have, and we look at the poor who's made a foolish decision and don't realize it's because we didn't help them to make a better decision. In dry, barren lands like David was in, he knew the sheep would struggle if the shepherd didn't help. And so he writes this passage to tell us, lack is the sheep's enemy. And the shepherd boy knew that. When sheep lack, sheep then would get into a striving and a struggle. And the sheep, he would lead them to green pasture, make sure everyone, that's why the 99, everyone had to be looked after. Because if there was one that was lacking, it would create a different synergy. It would mess up the equilibrium. That is why it's important, even as a church, we think of each other in the body and find out what each other needs and begin to lift people up so no one feels embarrassed if there's a bit of poverty in their hands at the moment. Are you hearing me this morning? See, lack of food fosters discontent. Discontent triggers self-assertion, and then dominance, and then status seeking, and then it's followed by all type of evil. Because you see, what happens is godliness with contentment is great gain. So when we have godliness, we're content and we have every gain. But when we keep wanting and wanting, we keep butting other people to get what we need. And in fact, sheep is the ones that prove that. When a sheep have a butting order, what happens is when one sheep doesn't have and another has, it goes and it butts it out of the way, and it will take that grass patch. And then another one says, oh, that's how you get it? Well, and then the butting order goes by the size of the sheep. And we humans behave the same way. Humans have a pushing problem. Can I remind us here, no pushing, no butting, but be content with the good shepherd's provision and his care for our life and his time, even in times of personal hardship. Even in times of personal hardship. Why? Because in Philippians 4 it says, our God will supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory. I shall not want, because my God is a limitless provider. And because he has blessed me, I am able to bless others. Folks, this morning, as we come to a close, you're going to your homes for Thanksgiving. And I deliberated which way will I go with this altar, with this closing, with this making it personal. And I think you just have to choose to make it personal, because I can preach and preach and preach, but if you don't stop and say, God, what can I do to make the difference, not Thanksgiving weekend, but for the rest of my life? See, this weekend, we did everything possible. We put out the thanks and the blessed and the grateful and the give thanks, and we show the video and all of that. But are we living it past this week and into the rest of our lives so we change the culture? So we change the culture. So we change the culture. Not live under a secular culture, but we change the culture. And so if we're going home, and if things are not good at home, prepare before you leave here. I'm going to change the culture. I didn't say change the people, right? Because we can't change others. But when we change ourselves, we change the culture, how people respond to us. God, I shall not want. I don't want what others have. I want what you have for me. I don't want what I see. I want what you put in my heart that I need. God, teach us to live in that I shall not, because God has provided and God will. I prove God holy when I show how much I trust God. Because I trust Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is my shepherd, has taught me that I don't need to live in the want line. I need to live in the praise line, because I have all that I need. And if you don't have all that you need that are essential, don't be too proud. That's also a sin. Don't be too proud to even come and share it with your pastors and your leaders or your small group. Pride is what keeps us sometimes impoverished. Learning satisfaction is the art of knowing true contentment. God, I want to be content, and I want my life to be a blesser. I want my life to be a blesser. Father, we still have a reason to praise. Let every heart, every life leave this place rejoicing. And God, we give you thanks because you have been good to us. Jesus' name. All in agreement say, hallelujah.
If you enjoyed today's episode and feel called to support and give to PPC, you can head over to our website at ppclife.ca, where you can give, get involved, and find out more information about our church. We can't wait to hear from you. God bless.